Noble Book of Quran.
Okay.
The only thing that we have here is what we call it ikhtilaful qira'at. There are some differences in reciting, not the words, and in just reciting some of the words in the Noble Book of Quran. But it is different from distortion. So when it comes to distortion or tahrif, a person willingly comes to distort the text of a scripture. What has happened, for example, to the Old Testament, to the New Testament, and many other scriptures. Some people, for changing the reality, willingly they have come to change that text, to distort that text.
Mm-hmm.
But this issue has never occurred in the Noble Book of Quran. I mean, no one has ever tried to distort the Noble Book of Quran. So there are ikhtilaf al-qira'at. There are differences in, pronouncing and reciting some of the words. But does it mean that some reciters try to change and distort the Noble Book of Quran?
Mm-hmm.
No. All of them were, great Muslims.
Yes.
They were righteous men. And no one has ever tried to willingly distort the Noble Book of Quran. So there is a big difference between these ikhtilaf al-qira'at and distortion of the Noble Book of Quran.
And we know that on that time there was no diacritic or something?
Yeah.
In the text of the Holy Quran, even dotting, even punctuation or diacritic, okay? And this nahw of the Holy Quran was, then added into the text of the Holy Quran. Imam Ali alayhi salam was among the first people who taught people, isn't it?
Yeah, there are two, three reasons for the roots of this ikhtilaf al-qira'at.
Mm-hmm.
We know that the Arabic language at that time was in its, initial stage.
Yes.
And as you mentioned, without any dot, without any diacritic, and without maybe vowels. So when it comes to Arabic words, one word can be recited in different ways. Okay, if there is no dot, if there is no vowel, and that is one of the reasons that we have these ikhtilaf al-qira'at, which will not bring about, a huge difference in the meaning of these verses. So that is a reality, and we cannot negate that because at that time the Arabic alphabet and the Arabic text was without any vowel, without any dot and diacritics. Later, when people were reciting the Noble Book of Quran, we see the concept of ikhtilaf al-qira'at. And sometimes, according to some scholars, the different of dialects, because
yes.
When it comes to Arabic language, we have different dialects as well. So some reciters of the Quran, they recited the Quran based on their own dialect. Now, what happens is that, so we have these ikhtilaf al-qira'at, different reciters are reciting the Noble Book of Quran in different ways, but later, the Muslim scholars, it's been mentioned that it happened in the 4th century after Hijrah,
yes.
7 recitations of the Quran are chosen, and
mm-hmm.
they are known as Qurra Sab'a, or
yes.
the 7 reciters of the Noble Book of Quran.
Okay.
And they are Abdullah bin Amir, who passed away in 118, Abdullah ibn Kathir Makki, he passed away in 120, Abu Amr bin Alam Mazani, passed away in 154, Nafi' bin Abdul Rahman, 169, Hasim bin Ibn Najub, 128, Hamza bin Habib al-Kufi, 156, and Ali ibn Hamza Kasai, who passed away in 189. These are famous as Qurra Sab'a. They lived in the 2nd century after Hijrah, and they learned the recitation of the Quran from Tabi'un. Tabi'un are those people who saw the companions of the Prophet. And of course, Tabi'un learned from the companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Allah, Allah, Allah. send us your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Praise to Allah, all glory is to Allah, we worship Allah and no one but Allah.
So according to the great majority of Muslim scholars, both Shia and Sunni scholars, these seven ways of reciting the Quran, which again I repeat that, I mean, there are just slight differences in some of the words, which does not bring any huge difference in the message and in the meaning. These seven ways of the Quran are authentic, and all of them are mutawatir. And of course, here we have the concept of 14 riwayah. Let me also explain this point. The 14 riwaya means that each of these seven ways of reciting the Quran are narrated to us through two narrators. That is why we have the 14 riwaya or 14 ways of reciting the Quran, and the names of these 14 people are famous. So one of these Qurra Sab'a is Asim, and one of the two reciters from him is Hafs.
Yes.
And nowadays the Qira'ah, the Riwayah of Hafs from Asim.
Hafs is Asim.
Yeah.
That's right.
Is the most famous among the, Muslim populations and Muslim scholars.
Mm-hmm.
And, the Qur'an that is available nowadays is based on the Riwayah of Hafs from Asim, which according to the majority of the scholars is the best type of reciting the Quran. And of course, some people believe that Asim indirectly took that way of reciting the Quran from Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Yes, that's all right. Okay, what about the ayahs inside the surah, Sheikh? Are there, for example, any ayahs in the Quran? Or no, the same could be found in all texts of the Quran all around the world.
No.
Sometimes they accuse the Shias that, for example, you have a different Quran in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
The ayahs are different, you know, for example, in supporting your imams or something like that.
Recently, what happened by the president of the Islamic Republic of Iran in his lecture in UN, because we have the desecration of the Noble Book of Quran recently, he took a copy of the Quran in his hand and he referred to some points regarding to the Noble Book of Quran and its desecration. Now, what the interesting point regarding this action was that what was in his hand was the Quran, which is known as the Quran printed and published in Saudi Arabia. So it has a message that the Quran in all countries is the same. I mean, those people who accuse the Shia, they can come to Iranian mosques, schools, libraries, and to check. And all the people see that there is even no difference in one vowel when it comes to the verses of the Quran. Nowadays, all Muslims all around the world, they read and recite the same Quran, the same order, all the number of the chapters are the same, the number of the verses, the content of the Quran, even the vowels are the same. And as I mentioned, they are based on the Qira'ah of Hafs from Asim. And of course, as I mentioned, many Muslim scholars believe that all these seven ways of reciting the Quran are authentic, meaning that you can recite them, for example, in your prayer. And when we listen to the Quranic recitation of the Quran by some, for example, Egyptian reciters, they knew different ways of reciting the Quran. For example, let me refer to some differences. For example, in Surah Hamd, we have Maliki Yawmiddin.
Yes.
And some reciters have recited it as Maliki Yawmiddin.
Mm-hmm.
And you see some reciters like Abdul Basit, they recite both Maliki Yawmiddin, Maliki Yawmiddin.
Mm-hmm.
But this, as I mentioned, this doesn't bring a kind of distortion and huge change in the message of the Quran, because Maliki Yawmiddin means the owner of the Day of Judgment. Maliki Yawmiddin means the sovereign of the Day of Judgment.
Right.
It doesn't make any difference. Or when it comes to the pronoun hum, alayhim. Some have recited alayhim. Some have recited alayhum, for example. So yes. It's just a vowel. It doesn't bring any change in the meaning. Okay. Or sirat with sad or seen. Again, it is a change in the letter without any change in the meaning.
Yes.
So, as I mentioned, all these seven ways of reciting the Quran, and according to some scholars, all those 14 ways of reciting the Quran yes. are authentic.
Okay.
And of course, people should refer to the marja taqlid, the religious mm-hmm. authority that they follow. There might be a slight differences in whether we are able to, when it comes to our salat, prayer, to recite all those 14 riwayah of the recitation of the Quran or not.
That's right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Karimi, for a nice elaboration. And the final message of today's program is that the Holy Quran will never burn. Thank you very much. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban li Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين
وحسن يوسف جلالي بتهران
روباشافت غازا
جيروم هيوز بروسلز
سعيد بورزا لندن
راشا ساغلام استنبول
سيد امين عالمي كابول
شهانه بات انديان ادمنستريد كشمير
Around the world with reporters.
Palestine will be free.
Thousands of Pakistanis took to the streets in a solidarity march, fervently expressing their condemnation of the Israeli atrocities against the Palestinian people in Gaza.
It's not the silence from the world, it's only silence from our governors, our rulers. The people are here everywhere in all over the world. So the people are with the Palestinians.
Down occupation!
There were chants of solidarity as passionate individuals from all walks of life gathered to voice their concerns for Palestinian lives and express support for their rights.
As a mother and as a countrywoman, I am very much upset by seeing all this. I can't sleep. It's very painful. It is a genocide and it should be stopped.
Reacting to the continuing Israeli actions in Gaza, Pakistanis expressed support for Palestinians, not just through marches, but also through aid and financial assistance. Aid agencies are calling for urgent action and support and also demanding the immediate opening of the Rafah border crossing. Humanitarian groups have been sounding the alarm, predicting a potential deterioration of the crisis in Gaza.
The Rafah border should be immediately open and the aid should be delivered immediately to the people of Gaza. So far, very little aid is gone. 1,000 containers is the daily requirement at Gaza. More than 1 million people have dislocated from their homes. There is a very big humanitarian crisis. Food is required, tent is required, blanket is required, medicine is required.
Meanwhile, citizens across Pakistan are stepping up their commitment to the boycott campaign against pro-Israeli businesses. The movement has garnered widespread support and engagement.
By participating in marches of solidarity and extending aid to those affected, Pakistanis are vehemently denouncing what they see as war crimes committed by Israeli forces in Gaza and sending a strong message of empathy and support for the people of Palestine. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is under mounting pressure as protests against the Israeli onslaught of the besieged Gaza Strip enter a sixth week. Demonstrators underline that it's not just the U.S. president and Israeli Prime Minister behind the killings of thousands of people in Gaza, saying that their government is also complicit in Israel's atrocities.
We're seeing an intensification of our people's struggle. Zionism is falling in front of our eyes. People are refusing to believe Zionist lies about the Palestinian people, about Gaza. Our numbers are growing every single week. We are seeing people all across the world take up more intense forms of direct action, refusing to be quiet, even though 6 weeks in, the Canadian government and Western governments have not called for a ceasefire, continue to send weapons to the Zionist state.
The International Center of Justice for Palestinians has announced its intention to seek the prosecution of four Canadian officials, including the Prime Minister. The organization says it will pursue all appropriate courses of action to hold them accountable before the International Criminal Court for supporting the Israeli regime.
So this case is part of a larger international collaboration to bring charges for aiding and abetting against Canadian officials who have been complicit with Israeli war crimes. All of them in their own way have been either acting or failing to act in a way that is benefiting the Israeli armed forces with great intentionality. And what we see right now is we see a situation where arms are still being shipped from Canada to Israel while it's carrying out war crimes. We see money being misappropriated from so-called charitable organizations here and being sent over to assist the occupation forces. We also see the government here failing to do anything at all to stop recruitment for the Israeli military, which is also happening right now.
Activists are calling for an immediate ceasefire in the Palestinian territory to prevent further loss of life and say that Ottawa must cancel all arms export permits to Israel and require the regime to fully comply with international law.
So we refuse for our Canadian leadership, the members that we elected, to be complicit in the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians. We demand that it imposes an arms embargo on Israel and that it holds it accountable to the numerous international law violations and war crimes that it has committed, not only the past 42 days, but for the past 75 years of occupation.
If the politicians and the media will not listen to us, then we will make it impossible for them to ignore us. We will not allow for business to go on as usual while a genocide takes place against our people in Gaza.
These mass protests demonstrate that people here and around the world no longer believe Israel's propaganda as people from across the country prepare for next week's national march on Ottawa. Camila Escalante, Toronto.
Another pro-Palestinian demonstration has taken place in the Yemeni capital Sana'a in solidarity with Palestinians and their resilience in the face of the Israeli aggression. Protesters also expressed support for the Yemeni government's decision to continue targeting Israel with drones and ballistic missiles. They stressed that this is a battle between good versus evil.
This is a battle against the heads and masterminds of disbelief, at the head of which is America and Israel, the great Satan and the cancer in the body of the Muslim world. By the will of Allah, victory is near.
14 nations wages airstrikes against us and all fail to deter us as we continue to fight today. We do not fear them as long as Allah is with us. We tell them that no matter how much you plot, Allah will turn their plots against them.
Last week, the Yemeni army confirmed they are able to target Israeli ships in the Red Sea and any other location. The army also stated they will target Israeli ships heading toward occupied Palestine or any other country. The Ansarullah military says its moves against Israel are part of efforts to pressure the regime in Tel Aviv to put a halt to the atrocities against Palestinians.
Yemen's armed forces will not hesitate to target all Israeli ships in the Red Sea or at any location within our reach. Yemen's armed forces will not stop launching attacks against Israelis until the regime's aggression on our Palestinian brothers ends.
The government in Sana'a believes these military moves could lead to a full-scale war with the U.S. and the Israeli regime. Despite that, Yemen leaders believe war has been permitted against those killing Muslims and forcing them out of their land.
Israel's economy is heavily dependent on imports and exports traded through Yemen's crucial Bab al-Mandab Strait. This comes as the Ansarullah movement has announced it will not allow any Israeli shipments to pass through this strait as long as the Tel Aviv regime continues its acts of aggression in occupied Palestine. Yusuf Mawri, Sana'a.
As you enter the playground of most schools in Lebanon, it is not only the Lebanese flag which is seen waving. Most extracurricular activities and events include some mention of Gaza and Palestine. Students here have, in their own words, expressed their utter rejection of the continuous onslaught against innocent children.
What kind of sick and twisted maniac would do this to children? If we look at the facts, we see that Israel has won multiple institutions for Gaza, like the hospitals, the schools, that foster like 4 to 5 innocent kids. So by standing with them, I believe that we stand for justice, we stand for freedom, we stand for compassion.
The television and news, mostly in America and Europe, they don't spot the light on these violations because they don't want to tell to. Report a message to people that the Israeli army is actually destroying the life of some innocent kids, that there is no front line defending them. This is a big challenge that we are facing right now. We should help them mentally with any type of support that we have.
We look at the screens on the TVs and you feel you just want to cry for what's happening for them. And just something unbearable for this, incredible. We can't bear. We have to move. We have to do something for those people to save their lives. Otherwise, we are not human being anymore.
During a school seminar, words and slogans, in addition to symbols of Palestinian resistance, are worn by the students and teachers alike.
The Palestinian kids are not only statistics of wars, they are human beings like us. They have the right to dream, the right to live, the right to have all their rights like other human beings.
I would like to express my opinion in my house, in the community, and everything, and also in supporting boys and girls in Gaza.
Shouts from protests in support of Gaza and denouncing the massacres in Palestine and Lebanon have been echoing across the capital, Beirut. People of all ages have taken part, but experts believe that this war has deeply touched the conscience of the younger generations because of the daily killing of infants, which the world has not stopped.
Today, when younger generations see the U.S.-Israeli massacre of children, they realize that the U.S. is the real enemy of all mankind. It is in the interest of all the people around the world to unite against the U.S., since it has violated all norms of humanity together with the Israeli regime.
Despite their young age and the fact that they have not witnessed any wars, Lebanon's children and youth consider the war waged on Gaza as an act of terrorism. Their confusion lies in understanding why the so-called democracies of the world support the slaughter of innocent women and children. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
Iranian
Palestinian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian described the aim of the visit to the Swiss city of Geneva as pursuing the process of delivery of humanitarian aid to Palestinians in Gaza and the end of the Israeli siege of the coastal territory.
We are pursuing process of delivery of humanitarian assistance to people in Gaza. We will have meetings with UN officials and International Red Cross organization. Some of the meetings have been held, while others are on the agenda. Definitely, the humanitarian situation in Gaza is embarrassing.
Amir Abdullahian also censured the U.S. military support for Israel, saying Washington's claims of providing aid to Palestinians are just words without actions.
We have heard from the American foreign minister saying Washington seeks to send around 500 trucks of humanitarian aid to Gaza daily. But currently, between 25 to 40 trucks are only entering Gaza. One-third of this aid is water, lacking the essential food and medicine urgently needed by Palestinians.
The Iranian foreign minister made the remarks following talks with the UN Undersecretary for Human Rights Affairs, Martin Griffiths. During their meeting, Amir Abdullahian stated Hamas resistance movement's preparedness to release Israeli civilians in exchange for the end of the regime's onslaught against Palestinians. Griffiths, for his part, highlighted the importance of this topic and thanked Iran's efforts in preventing the war from spreading. Amir Abdullahian then held talks with Volker Turk, the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights. Following that, he met with Mirjana Espoljaric-Egger, president of the International Committee of Red Cross. The talks all revolved around ending the siege on Gaza and the opening of the Rafah border crossing.
For the last 40 days, Israeli warplanes and tanks have been pounding the Gaza Strip. Thousands of civilians, including women and children, have been killed in the Gaza Strip. For the last 40 days, the international community has failed to propose a solution to end the war. Now, many are wondering whether the United Nations and other human rights organizations can do anything more to protect Palestinians other than just issuing condemnations. Ahtiyar Posyan, Geneva.
At the invitation of Palestinian factions, hundreds of Syrians joined their brethren to rally in Khan Yunis refugee camp to condemn Israeli crimes against the Palestinian people, especially the besieged people of Gaza. The demonstrators stressed that the Western-backed aggression and blockade will not defeat Palestine and its people. They also pointed to the failure of the Israeli regime to produce any evidence backing up its claims about the presence of a Hamas command center under Gaza's Al-Shifa hospital.
The issue of Shifa Medical Complex has exposed Israel and the international community supporting it, including the United States of America. It has proven to the world that our hospitals are solely for patients and the wounded, and that the Zionist enemy only seeks to destroy them.
Two residents of the Khan Yunis refugee camp were martyred in Al-Aqsa flood operation. The people of the camp take pride in their martyrs. Participants affirmed that the path of liberating Al-Quds and Al-Aqsa Mosque is difficult, but pledged to make all necessary sacrifices in the battle for the Palestinian cause.
It is a great honor to be in a family that has a martyr for the cause of liberating Al-Aqsa, which is also the first martyr from Khan Yunis camp. It is a very modest sacrifice for the sake of Palestine and the heroic people of Gaza.
We, the sons of the Islamic Jihad in Khan Yunis camp, assure our people in Palestine that we stand firmly with them and with the resistance. Our hand is on the trigger until the end and to the last breath.
Meanwhile, inside the Zainab city, a solidarity event was held in support of Palestine, where families of the Palestinian resistance martyrs were honored. In turn, families hailed martyrdom as the only path to victory. Participants expressed confidence in the victory of Gaza, emphasizing that the Palestinian cause will always thrive throughout generations.
As outrage grows in the region due to the escalation of Israeli crimes, Syrians and Palestinians reaffirm their support for Gaza in the face of the Israeli aggression and their determination to achieve victory, no matter how great the sacrifices are. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
The leader of Yemen's Ansar Allah movement, Sayyid Abdel Malik al-Houthi, has delivered a much-anticipated televised speech in which he stressed that the Yemeni military will continue targeting Israel. After condemning some Arab and Islamic countries for not taking a meaningful stance against the Israeli regime, al-Houthi made it clear that Yemen is determined to take decisive military action that will eventually force the Zionist aggression to stop.
Our brothers in the armed forces have begun their work and carried out a number of operations with long-range missiles deep into the south of Israeli-occupied lands. We also use drones to target Israeli Zionist targets there. We will continue our bombardment and we will continue to march for Palestine. We are also planning for additional military operations against all Zionist targets in Palestine and outside of Palestine.
Al-Houthi declared that from now on, all Israeli ships passing through Yemeni territorial water will be targeted in the Red Sea, a move which would prove to be very costly, since trade through the Red Sea constitutes 90% of Israel's imported goods.
Our eyes are open for constant monitoring and searching for any Israeli ships. Everyone should know that the Israeli enemy relies on its movement in the Red Sea, especially in Bab al-Mandab, where they try to camouflage their ships by not raising Israeli flags on them. It's a smuggling mission because they even turn off the identification devices on board. Despite this, they will not succeed. We will search until we verify the ships that belong to the Israeli regime, and we will not hesitate to target them.
Yemen's continuous military strikes against Israel come after U.S. officials directed a warning to Yemen to not intervene in Israel's brutal war on Gaza. But according to al-Houthi, Yemen doesn't take its orders from America. Bab al-Mandab is a very narrow strait that separates Yemen from the Horn of Africa. This means any ship that passes through Bab al-Mandab will be within the target zone of Yemen's armed forces. And as Sayyid Abdel Malik al-Houthi has stated, all Israeli shipments will be targeted if they attempt to pass. Yusuf Maudi, Sana'a.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
Limelight. It remains unclear how large is the share of Palestinian blood required by the Zionist regime before its invading army is forever gone. But judging from the Al-Fakhura and Tel al-Zatar massacres today, it seems that the Zionist regime's military beast remains unsatisfied. Regarding the latest developments in Gaza, we take a look at the world media sites and news agencies for further details. Please stay with us. The Palestine Chronicle website has covered this story and tells us more. This was not the first time that Al-Fakhura school was targeted by the Israeli regime. 2 weeks ago, Israel bombed Al-Fakhura school, where thousands of displaced Palestinian refugees have taken shelter, with the hope of escaping the horrific fate of thousands of Palestinian civilians who were killed since the start of the Israeli onslaught on Gaza on 7th of October. Back then, scores of Palestinians were killed and wounded. Also back then, news reports, especially in the Middle East, reminded their viewers and readers that Al-Fakhura refugees were also targeted in a previous Israeli war on Gaza, back in 2008-2009. Sadly, the innocent blood of Al-Fakhura refugees was still not enough. More had to be exacted. In one of the most devastating massacres against children, women and desperate refugees sheltering in a school located in the Jabalia refugee camp in northern Gaza Strip, the Israeli regime has reportedly killed another 200 Palestinians. More were killed in the Tel al-Zatar school due to the Palestinian medical personnel's inability to reach many of the targeted places. Bodies of the dead and wounded remain scattered in the school premises and in adjacent streets and neighborhoods. Their mutilated remains were spotted everywhere, inside classrooms, on bloody staircases, and in the school's courtyard, where young students not long ago lined up every day for their morning routine. This time around, though, the Israeli regime did not even bother to divert the blame onto someone else, as they had done during previous massacres, especially the Al-Ahli Baptist Hospital massacre on 17th of October. Back then, nearly 500 Palestinians were killed. And also, this time around, Washington did not even bother to pretend to care. It seems that Israel has succeeded in normalizing its genocide in the Gaza Strip. The resistance in Gaza issued a statement insisting that Israel will pay the price for the Al-Fakhura massacre and for all of the other massacres against innocent civilians, if not now, then later. 43 days into the war, Palestinians in the Gaza Strip have learned that they can only place their trust in God and on the resistance's ability to fight back to remain unbroken. Despite all the promises and pledges by Arab leaders and others, no one but the resistance seems to be able to deliver on its promises. But the Al-Fakhura massacre was not the only price of Palestinian blood exacted by the Israeli regime on Saturday. Countless other massacres took place from the furthest point north to the furthest point south of the besieged Gaza Strip. The Palestinian Ministry of Health in Gaza said that 32 members of a single family perished when Israel targeted their home in Jabalia. 19 of those killed were children, according to the Palestinian Health Ministry. Then 15 people were killed in an Israeli strike targeting a home in Khan Yunus in southern Gaza Strip. In addition to a massacre here, a massacre there, and yet more massacres everywhere else. But Mohammad Zarout, the general director of Gaza's hospital, said in his daily press briefing that today's massacres will result in nearly 1,000 people being martyred. The rest of Mohammad Zaghoud's statement offers a possible answer. Not a single hospital is now functioning in the Gaza Strip. There are no medical services available in northern Gaza Strip or in Gaza City, and so on. This means that many of the wounded, even if somehow they're collected from the various massacre sites, are surely to die. There is no blood transfusion, no surgery wards operating, and in fact, many of the doctors have been killed, wounded, or expelled from their hospitals and clinics. While all of this is taking place, Western leaders continue to talk about Israel's right to self-defense, and that no ceasefire is possible without the elimination of Palestinian resistance, and all the other predictable and redundant statements. Until these statements change into a decisive and unified call for a ceasefire, the Israeli bloodbath in Gaza will certainly continue. In his seminal poem, Those Who Pass Between Fleeting Words, the late Palestinian poet Mahmoud Darwish wrote, "Above us, as above you, are sky and air, so take your share of our blood and be gone." It remains unclear how large is the share of Palestinian blood required by Israel before its invading army is forever gone. But judging by the Al-Fakhura and the Tel al-Zatar massacres today, it seems that the Israeli military beast remains unsatisfied.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam I be. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners from all around the world. Welcome back to IRIB English Radio. We are here again at
Youth Station.
Yeah, I am Bita.
And I'm Asma. It's your service again.
Yeah, it's the pleasure, you know.
Yeah, the cozy corner of the youth.
Exactly.
We talk about everything that is
really
related to the youth.
And our generation, for sure.
Of course.
And mine. Yeah.
The things we can't say out loud outside here, we come here and just share it with you guys.
Exactly. So stay with us. Today, you know, we're going to talk something which I don't really believe in. And I'm that
kind of person, again, really.
Yeah. There is this word wish. You wish for something.
Which is a very beautiful word.
Which is not beautiful, which is full of regret, which is full of jealousy and full of dark things. I don't like it.
No, why is that?
Really, the word wish has a really negative vibe for me.
Because, okay, guys.
Yeah,
so wish.
I want to make it dark and it cannot stop me.
I'm here. I will moderate that.
Yeah.
Well, the word wish is one of the most beautiful words in the dictionary of human beings. To me, wish equals dream. And without them, I suppose, without dream and without wish, life is a broken-winged bird that cannot fly. So just imagine, if you have a wish, it could give you enough of driving force and motivation to go forward and to be creative, to try so hard, to put all your efforts in there and then try to achieve something. And then when one wish is finished, you start to create another wish. Without wish, I suppose, we're not going to be alive.
Yeah, we're living in a world full of materialistic expectations, okay?
Yeah.
And these expectations are becoming a wish. So my problem itself by nature is not with the word wish, is exactly by the equal that we're choosing towards this word. Like we are wishing to be wealthy, we are wishing to be a celebrity, we are wishing to be beautiful. Our measures of wishes becoming lower and lower and lower, you know?
Oh, so you mean that we have started to bring some trivial...
Exactly.
But you don't like dream and you don't like wish. So what word can I say for that? Goals.
Yeah,
let's
goals.
Say we set trivial goals and call them wishes.
Yeah, I do agree with that. Sometimes...
So people are different, you know? We're not here
I do agree
to... People are different?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they are different. So some people would call some trivial goals a wish. Some other people would dream big and then call it wish.
This is ambition again. Again, you know, it will lead to something bad. Like ambition. Ambition itself is not something bad. It can be a motivation, but most of the time it's destructive. You know, I think this everything, this high expected word is forcing us to be ambitious. It's forcing us to expect something for ourselves that we cannot do.
Now I get your meaning. Yeah. So you mean that this is a story of wishes and dream making would bring too much of a pressure on people.
Exactly.
And then if they do not achieve that dream or goal or wish or whatever, then they would turn into sad people, sadistic people, issued people, troubled people.
Yeah.
This is IRIB English Radio. You are listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back. This is Youth Station.
Yeah.
Bita and I were talking about the wishes and dreaming. And, well, the word itself has got a very beautiful and positive connotation. And then Bita took us somewhere very dark, gray, gloomy, spooky.
Come on.
Yeah, you know? But she was right, actually. Your point of view has got some very important facts to say.
At the end of the day, you know, we all have some wishes.
Of course. You know? I told you, without wishing, we cannot be that alive.
And sometimes we dream something that we know, we're sure, we're certain that it's not going to happen again. It's not going to happen never, ever in your life.
But then, you know, there is this quote that says, if... you were not able of achieving that, it would have never came into your mind.
I want to disagree. You know, for example, you can imagine so many things. You can imagine being a tree, but it cannot be a tree. It's just simple.
No, you are making it
like
you're taking it somewhere so complicated.
Yeah, you're telling me that we are a kind of capable creature, okay?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. God has created us with too much of power.
Yeah.
He himself says that we have it in our narrations. It has been said from Allah that he says, "Oh, my servant, I'm the mighty one whom if he says to something to be, then that thing would be." Be a good servant in a way that I give you that power for whenever you say to something to be, it would be.
You know what? I think like I am sounding like the villain of the story of today's episode, unfortunately, today. But the thing here is that it doesn't matter if sometimes you have some dreams, you have some wishes that are far-fetched, that are really difficult to achieve. And sometimes you may feel like you have to sacrifice something like your innocence, like you have to commit a sin to achieve that wish or dream.
Yeah, exactly.
But you have to remind yourself this verse of Holy Quran, which I love it, which just tells that, isn't Allah enough for his servant? This is just enough for you, okay?
Exactly.
And you have the enough extent of whatever you want in this life. You have it, okay?
Yeah.
And still, you're looking somewhere beyond the skies to find it.
When I was a child, I used to think that, okay, if God is mine, then just like your father, just imagine when your father have something, you would feel like, okay, I have it.
Yeah.
There is no difference between me and him. So I used to think that now that he's my God, now he's my one and only, then I don't have to kill myself to achieve everything that I want because only with one step I could get them.
This is a nice
I am just one step away from everything I wish because I have my God and he has everything, so they're mine.
And I believe this is the same thing about our relationship that we have with Allah Almighty.
Yeah.
You know, every feature in everything that Allah Almighty possesses, we possess too as His creation. You know, that's it. I mean, don't look for something really unimaginable and amazing, luxury.
Yeah, you actually mean hallucinations. Yeah. Don't have illusions. Don't try to create a mirage for yourself. Sometimes, as Jasmita says, you create something so idealistically in your mind and you pin all your hopes on it and you spend your life, your days, your energy, your seconds, everything, even maybe your dear ones, you sacrifice everything to achieve into that thing that you call it your wish. And then even if you achieve it, then there is a booming moment.
Yeah.
You come to realize that, okay, all of these things was for this.
This is
a moment of manifestation would happen to you. And then this reality that even if you achieve your wishes, you would be the same person and life is going to be the same thing. And then the beautiful things, the beautiful moments were actually the time that you were trying to achieve this thing.
Exactly. The road is more beautiful
than
the life
destination. Life is just about the moments that you pass.
Yeah.
So even if you have a dream, do not set it so far-fetched in a way that when you achieve it, you say, okay, was it all?
You know, I believe when it comes to wishes, you have to have priorities. And these priorities are really important.
Vita, just as you're so worried about people wishing and then not achieving and then regret gets into their brain, that's very cool. Because, you know, even in our holy book of Quran, God has mentioned it there. God is not going to expect you to do more than what you have as your capacity. So you're going to be asked to do according to what you have as your capacity. Do not put so much of burdens on your shoulder, because every single person in this world has got a capacity.
Yeah. We're going to leave you for a short moment, then we're going to come back. So let's make it a little bit more personal.
Yeah, it's your station.
My favorite part about you that I ask you personal questions.
I guess I know what you're going to ask.
Maybe. What is your wish?
The biggest wish.
The biggest one.
The same thing was in my mind. Well, I have always wished to be a writer write a book, which is so appreciated. So I just wanted to write because ever since I was a child and I was just reading novels and stories, I just wondered about some of the writers and wished to be in their place, because when I read their books, I learned something for my personal life. I have always wished to be one of those writers who could add something new to people's life. This is my materialistic wish, let's call it. Well, when I see people in misery, when I see somebody's crying, when I see somebody's sick and I cannot do anything for any of these situations, I feel so sad. And then I start wishing. I wish God eliminates all these problems and miseries and issues. And there comes a day in which Imam Mahdi ajalallah farajah would come and then everything would be solved. And then we'd have a utopian sort of experience in this world.
I think this is everybody's wish, specifically as Muslims. We all have this hope for this utopia after the reappearance of our
mom. The green dream.
Yeah.
We have always had this green dream after this bloody reality of these centuries.
Bloody history, really. You know, I think every word in our history that we can read in the books has blood behind this. Okay,
exactly.
And this is really sad.
Innocent people.
Exactly.
Mostly innocent people. They have to pay the price for everything.
Yeah.
For all of those pages of history.
Yeah. So coming back to our topic of wishes. I want to ask you my questions too.
Yeah, of course. Because if you don't do it,
you're killing me. She's
going to be a perfect actor, by the way.
If I try to be, but I'm not sure. I don't want to talk about future or something, because wishes are mostly related to the future, you know.
Yeah.
We don't wish to do something in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Wish is about future.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I want is not even materialistic,
neither.
It's a combination.
Yeah.
It's a combination of both of these two parts.
Which is?
Which is, I want to live a joyful life. And it may sound materialistic.
That's everyone's wish, I suppose.
Yeah. And, you know, you image it in different ways.
Yeah.
Like you want to be a writer, someone wants to be a good physician.
A doctor.
Yeah. In other
ways. A teacher.
Even a mother. They want to be a good mother.
And then let me just rephrase my work.
Yeah.
I want to be a good human being.
Nice.
This one is better.
I don't know. I love it more.
Yeah. Because whenever people start asking me about my wishes, you know, I have a lot of things in my mind. But then the most important one, just want to say the gist of it, is that I want to be a good human being. I want to be fruitful for my family, for my society, for the world. I want to be a good servant to Allah.
I just want from Allah Almighty that put me beneficial towards all the people around me.
Exactly.
In this world. And that's it. I think this is the gist of being here,
you know,
in this world.
To leave a footprint behind yourself, even after you're gone, people would remember you. Because
in a good way.
In a good way, exactly. And your name would never die, ever. Yeah. This is the wish of every person, I suppose.
It is.
Yeah.
So, you know, we are different individuals with different personalities, but at the end of the day, we want to be a good human being
and
a perfect servant.
As much as human beings we have in this world, there is a pile of wishes for everyone.
Exactly.
So may you all achieve whatever wish you have.
Yeah, this is a beautiful wish, but it's a wish anyway, so don't put your hope on that.
One day it's going to come true, of course.
Yeah.
One day everybody is going to find peace.
You know, wishes are destinations. We're living in roads. Don't forget that and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Enjoy every moment of everything that you are living.
The destination is not important. Just try to enjoy the moments, each and every second that you are going through.
Exactly. And specifically the seconds that you are listening to Youth Station. So this advertisement part is really my favorite one.
Yeah. Try to enjoy your life and listen to Youth Station
as
well. Because that would be a source of joy.
So thank you for listening to us.
Yes.
And this is all the time we have for today's episode. So I bid you farewell. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you, dear youth, will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings. Be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about this.
We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum. Wassalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Latif. Ya Latif. Ya Latif. Ya Latif.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio.
Coming up is the news.